This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You hear him on the Browns Radio Network. If you ever watched Bay Village play football back in the day, you saw him playing quarterback. You saw him doing everything. Kicking, punting, you name it. He did it, and he did it well. And then he did it well in the NFL as a punter. He is Dave Zastadil. Hello, Dave.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
We're doing well. How about you today?
Hey, can't complain. Can't complain. Thanks for having me on.
How's your NCAA eligibility? I just want to make sure.
No loans,
I think,
right?
I exhausted all 5 years. I think I don't have any time. Even if I did, I don't think my abilities would be that productive anymore.
And the only loans you had were student loans. That's all that matters, right?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't read too much into the Chase Young thing. I'm starting to get some, texts this morning about it.
You're not missing anything.
Nothing surprises him anymore, but hopefully they find that he didn't do too much damaging things and get back out and play.
6-2 for the Buffalo Bills. First of all, congratulations to them. I have read more than a few things, Dave, that say, okay, what teams aren't as good as their record? Buffalo Bills at 6-2. I don't know if I'm going to buy that because, as you always hear, if you're 2-6, you're 2-6. Well, if you're 6-2, good for you. What do you think of the Bills?
Well, I think in the NFL in general, if you're a winning football program, 6-2 is a good record. It doesn't matter who you play. I mean, people thought we were going to come out and beat Denver because they were 2-6 with a backup quarterback, and you saw what happened there. So, kudos to them. I think they're a very well coached team. I think their defense is really strong, and they play really well at home. If you look how they matched up against the New England Patriots earlier this season, they played them very tough, and this is just a tough football team is what I would call them. But I'll tell you what, I mean, if you look at the past history with Buffalo and Cleveland, we've always played them tough. It's always been close games, specifically back in the Snow Bowl. We went up there, I believe, on a Thursday night, maybe, when Phil made that long 56-yard field goal, but that was even a close game. So, it's two, grind them out, cold weather football team. So I think it's going to be a pretty good game.
It's been a weird week because everything's been negative until like yesterday. And we were talking to Bill Cowher, and Bill said, you know what? Outside of not being able to get into the red zone, to get into the end zone, the Browns did things right last week. They just couldn't score. Is that the way you saw it? Or do you see any positives from last week going into this week, knowing that they're 2-6 and knowing that the road to have any hope for any kind of postseason is pretty much all but dead?
I think so, too. Anytime you're in the red zone that many times, you realize where your weaknesses are. And I think, look at Baker last year in the red zone. He was really effective, and this year he is not. And the coaching staff has to figure out why. But they did drive the ball down. They gave themselves a chance to win, and that's all you can do in the National Football League. But I'll take it a little further. I'm one of the few guys, and maybe I'm not, because I haven't talked to the media at all, really. But if you look at the New England game, you take those three turnovers away, which that's not coaching. Those are just turnovers that just happened in the game. It was just unluckily there's three in a row. But I thought we absolutely dominated that Patriots defense when we ran the ball. We were getting chunks of 5, 10, 15 yards. I mean, our offensive line was pushing them back. And if you can gain a ground game like that against New England, you can have a lot of success. And I think if we didn't have those turnovers, there's a good chance we could have won that game. When I look back at the Seattle game, and they're up 20-6. And there's just some circumstances that allowed them to come back. But the Browns, in my opinion, are close. And I think there's opportunities this offseason, even the end of the season, to make some kind of run and build this team up for next year. But I always thought in my heart of hearts, this team was built for next year. But they just got to find a way to win the game. And I think that's just because they're a young team.
Dave, you just touched on something I was going to ask you next. And Andy and I have talked about this probably too much. I look at the Rams game, the Seahawks game, the Patriots game, and I think you have two Super Bowl teams from last year and a Super Bowl contender this year, and you're right there with them, and you couldn't figure out a way to win. Does that mean they're close, or does it mean they're just not good enough? And I've always thought it means they're close, and they just have a few things to figure out.
Yeah, I think they're still a young team. I think sophomore quarterbacks in general, and you look at the history of the game, have always struggled a little bit just because of teams start figuring you out. You're still not in that sixth, seventh year that Pete Carroll talked about, you know, with how Russell Wilson is, where he's now finally become the quarterback they expect him to be. So it's a learning curve. But when you're close as a young team, those are the mistakes, those are the situations that they learn from, that as they mature and get older, they're going to look back on, and I think they're going to overcome some of those difficulties just because of that. But, people are blaming Freddie Kitchens a lot because of these penalties. But, you know, even as a former player, if you jump start, you know, you have a false start, you hold somebody. I mean, those are not something that a head coach can just teach. I mean, it's just a player has to take responsibility for some of those things, and I thought he took too much heat for that. I think at some point you got to blame the players a little bit for some of their actions, because the head coach can only do so much. So you look at last game, the turnovers, the penalties were down, they were lower, but now they just couldn't convert in the red zone. So I just think it's a team trying to figure out how to win a football game, and as being as young as they are, and I think that's contributing to some of this, but they're learning from it.
Hey, Dave, how many first-year head coaches did you play for? Did you?
I never had a first-year head
coach. Between Baltimore, Cleveland, and Arizona, you never had a first-year coach, huh?
No, I had Brian Billick, Romeo, Eric Mangini. He came from the Jets, obviously. And then when I got to Arizona, I had Wiz and Hunt, and then I had Bruce Arians. So I never had a first-year head coach.
Oh, that's it. Because I wonder about the transition. You know, obviously you're somebody – like, but you know what it's like to play for a coach for the first time, too. And what does a coach need to do to establish that or implement within a player what he wants exactly? You know, there's got to be some kind of transition when you're a rookie head coach. And I'm just – your perspective would be interesting on this.
Well, I think it you have to figure out the personality of your team. And I think that's why it's so important to have a GM in place first, because, you know, he's there, he's evaluating film, he's listening, he's learning. And then the general manager hires the head coach because, A, he can work with him. They have the same history. They understand each other. They can work well together. But I'll give you a perfect example. When we were back, and we had a pretty young team when Romeo Crennel was here, and I always said that, you know, I think a lot of the reason Romeo kind of was pushed out of town was because we had a pretty young team. We had maybe a couple veterans out there that were trying, but the team was so young that Romeo Crennel's personality was built for a mature team, a veteran team that got it, understood how to win, understood when to pay attention, et cetera. But at the time, we were pretty immature, in my opinion, as a team. We were young, and that mix, it just didn't match. So I think it's so important to really understand the type of players you have, their mentality. You know, is it a disciplined football team? Is it not? And I think the GM, that's why it's so important for them to understand that team to be able to make a decision on the head coach. I personally thought at the time, and I still believe in Freddie Kitchens, but if you look at the records of head coaches in their first year, and you're talking about all the greats, it's not a great record. So, you know, if John Dorsey believes in Freddie Kitchens, he's going to give him time to get through some of these bumps and bruises if he really believes him. And obviously that's what I think is happening. And then over time, I think Freddie's going to learn from that, just like this young team will.
Dave, you were with Freddie in Arizona, and Dave's Astadil joining us. And when we were doing a postgame show together last year, you said – Freddie was the assistant coach that you really liked on that staff. And I said, he wasn't even your position coach. And you said, nope, but Freddie made sure that, you know, he connected with everybody and you thought it was a really good thing and you liked him personally. Do you think he has the ability to become a good head coach? And I know you just preached patience and I've said the same thing. Can you see that in him down the road?
Yeah. And your first comment. Freddie and I knew each other. And I try to not bother him too much during the season because I know he's got a lot on his plate, but he's a guy that's always earned everything he's done. He never kissed anybody's butt. He put his head down. He went to town. He went to work. And, hey, listen, he did a great job the second half of the season last year. I mean, that offense started sparking. They were scoring touchdowns. I mean, Baker Mayfield was throwing touchdown after touchdown, and everything was clicking. It's still the same guy. So, obviously, it's sometimes when things go south, it's not always the coach. You got to look at players. You got to look at if they're accountable. So it's not, you know, he's not the full piece of this puzzle. I mean, there's a bunch of parts that have to come together. But the thing about Freddie Kitchens that I like about him as a head coach is the fact that right off the bat, when things weren't working, he always blamed himself. And I'll tell you, I will tell you firsthand, I've been on the field, I've been in the locker room, I've been in meetings, when it may look from the outside like the head coach, it was all his fault. When there's so many aspects in the game on the sideline we don't see. Did the quarterback make a different play call? Did he audible out of something that was called? Was there false starts because the guy just wasn't paying attention? There's so many things that go on in a game that nobody knows because they're not there in the locker room and on the field, that the head coach goes, it's my fault, I'll take the blame. And really, it wasn't his fault. He knows that, but he's trying to get the respect of the players and the team. And in my opinion, that is the most respectful thing as a head coach. And Freddie Kitchens did that right off the bat.
You know what? 2-6 or 8 weeks into the season, Dave, I don't think we'd ever be talking about the fact that the kickers were so good, right? Like, it's the one thing we haven't had to complain about this season is Austin Seibert and Jamie Gilling, right? I look at this and I'm just like, I can't believe that of all the problems this team has had in the beginning of the year, the only thing we were worried about was the kickers. I guess there's something to learn there, is there?
Well, it's funny. My brother actually ran into Jamie Gilling last night. He texted me. He's like, man, he's the nicest guy. You got to reach out to him. So it's funny, ironically, the time you've asked that question. But Jamie Gilling is a strong, big guy, has a quick get off. He can place the ball because he's really good at the end-over-end punt. And he's just doing his thing. I don't think he's done anything different since when John Dorsey and the staff saw him, you know, right out of training camp. Now, Seibert's a little different. He came in, he struggled. And as a field goal kicker, it's a different thing. It's a pressure. You got to make the kick to put points on the board. After a few weeks, hey, as a rookie, your head's all over the place. He came in, got more comfortable. And once you get more comfortable, your confidence follows that. And I think his talent, it's never been doubted that he's one of the most accurate college kickers of all time. He just needed to get his mental side straightened out, and I think he did. And once that happened, he's just letting it loose, and his talent's taken over. So these guys are doing great. They're rookies, and it's great when a head coach doesn't have to worry about your specialists. They just go out and do their thing, affect the game, and obviously special teams, I think, ranks fourth in the NFL. So it's been a big, big, big positive for us.
Dave, 6-2 Bills, 2-6 Browns. Who do you like?
You know what? I like Cleveland because it's at home, and we look what happened with Denver last week. Even though we thought we were going to beat Denver, it's still something to say in the NFL is when you've got to go on the road and win. It's not easy. There's a lot of distractions. The crowd's against you. The players are more comfortable at home. So I like Cleveland in this game only because if you look at that Buffalo defense, we've faced the best of the best in defenses, and I think we still have moved the ball. So I don't see why we can't do that against them. We just need to get Josh Allen flustered, keep him in the pocket. And if we can do that, I think our special teams are better overall. I think we have a chance to win. So I'm going to pick the Browns. I think it's time we get a win.
David, thank you, buddy.
Yeah, sure, guys. Have a great day.
Hey, thank you, Dave.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.